He is an industry all to himself as well. That's our good friend Jim Lynch, who we speak to on Tuesday mornings. Jim is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, and politics, and he brings over 40 years of experience to these subjects and more. And Jim, before we get right out of the gate here, I want to warn you that next Tuesday I will not be into work because I am on Monday going in for my first stem cell transplant on my knees. So we'll have a rebroadcast of Mr. Lynch next week, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Just, is that your contract that you can take off?
Yeah, I it's a great thing. I had to really negotiate hard with Jill on this one. I really did.
I bet you did.
She drives a hard bargain, I'll tell you right now.
I know. But she's a lovely person.
Yes, she is. Now, you know, as an average American, and I'm going to put myself in the place of an average American, who is getting by on a day-to-day basis, I know that this stories like this, people don't understand, and they really feel like they're being victimized. I mean, I just opened up Business News this morning, just for the heck of it, right? J.P. Morgan tops estimates after posting $2.3 billion benefits on better-than-expected loan losses. Goldman earning blow past estimates as the investment banking revenue is boosted by a strong IPO market. You hear stories and you see stories like this, and then you also look on the other side of things. You look at the stock market, but then you look at unemployment. You look at people going back to work. You look at people who've been without work or for a year or so, and it really shows the great financial divide in this country.
Very definitely. Let me just handle the current situation. For instance, J.P. Morgan's $2 billion and various investment banks making an awful lot of money. We have had a very unusual situation with the pandemic forcing the markets down dramatically and opportunities for institutional investors were hurt dramatically, but then there was a dramatic flip-flop. So if you would, the pandemic in its own way enabled these companies in coming back to leverage up. That said, it doesn't take away whatsoever from the continuing huge differential, not just so much in dollars and cents, between the average employee and the people who manage and the people who are stockholders. But this has been a continuing trend that we're going to have to deal with or we're going to get into trouble. We see people's dissatisfaction courtesy of the pandemic when we find surveys showing that X amount of people are not going back to their current jobs because, one, they feel they're not being paid enough. Now, that's not universal, but it is still there. If you were to carry that trend through, you might find that the better people are going to find jobs at higher prices, better qualified people, and people with middling skills would be stuck. But eventually, it all catches up, and we will suffer a shortage of enough qualified people to basically run the economy. Of course, the little guy runs the economy. Does that get solved short term? I don't think so. Does it get solved long term? It better. Because there's too many opportunities that will spring up as we go along for people to begin to get very aggressive in seeking jobs, not only in other industries, but in other countries. Now, let's get to the reality, practicality of it. The average workers are really stuck, be it education, skills, or whatever. They're also stuck in that they don't really have the same kind of health care that people in the corporate side, the management side does. This is just going to continue to create discontent, and that, in a business sense, causes a lack of productivity. This must be addressed, because if we're going to compete, we need to bring all people, or most people, into the melting pot of economic production and economic reward. And I don't know how it gets solved, but it's been building. There's all kinds of charts that show the disparity increasing dramatically over the last 10, 20 years. And we must handle it. Now, we're going to start taxing corporations greater. We're going to be doing things like that. We're going to be doing more for people in the healthcare area. Some of these things will moderate this distinction between the corporate elite and the regular common folk. But it's a huge problem. It's a huge problem. And we can't have people who work like crazy and get paid 50 times less than the average corporate executive. I'm not talking about the big guys. I'm talking about the guys who are in management, who are getting 50 times more than the average worker. So the discontent is real. I think someone like Joe Biden is sensitive to it. I think he has in his administration a number of people who will work on it. In terms of the average person, the way we can work on it, you can work on it, is by writing to your congressman, your senator, your representative at the state and local level, and indicate your discontent with the disparity. You can get all kinds of charts and numbers to go with your letter or email. But that's what you can do, and we're going to have to solve it. We're just going to have to solve it.
Yeah.
I mean, the people in other countries really do extremely well. If you take, we are the only country that doesn't pay for leave, or a woman leaving her job for 4 months while she's doing taking care of her child. That creates such a disparity with other countries, where most sophisticated countries, most Western countries, pay for those kinds of things. That really makes up, to a degree, a small degree, for the disparity between wages and the salary and tax and stock benefits that the corporate people, the corporate management makes. So we can do things like that. We can also do everybody have health care at no cost. That's another way to handle this people basically making 50 times less corporate executives. There are two things right there, and they're easy to do. And they're easy to be absorbed by this economy of ours, which is a trillion-dollar economy and is one of the most productive in the world. Yet in terms of our general workforce, they are behind the curve. Also, cutting taxes dramatically for the little guy, I think, is very much in order. Maybe 10%, maybe 5%. And raising the taxes on people who make huge amounts of money, eliminating the tax shelters that the rich people have. Jeff Bezos doesn't pay any taxes. Very cleverly, he takes a small salary, maybe $40,000, and then, because he has all kinds of ways to take his stock profits, limiting the amount of capital gains he has to pay as he does it over a period of time, or it gives things away and reduces his tax gain. I mean, this is really criminal. If you go from a guy making 50 grand, a wife and a couple of kids, his wife having to work, actually making 50 grand in this country, and the woman doesn't get paid for taking care of her child, her newborn, rather. The newborn costs money. The woman still has got to pay her share of whatever she does at the home. And she's denied that. And she's denied it when the rest of the world takes care of their people. So little wonder when we look at a chart in terms of how satisfied are you living in this country or that country. The Nordic countries particularly far outdistance us in terms of individual satisfaction because they don't have to worry about health care. They don't have to worry about enormous taxes. They don't have to worry about the wife, the mom, leaving for 1 month. She will get paid. And there you have it. I mean, it's right there.
You know, I sit here and I often think, you know, so many Americans now are forced to work for companies like Amazon and stuff like that, where it's a job and it's a job that pays, but when I came out of high school, I decided to go into radio, and back then there were, believe it or not, there were tons in 1971. There were lots of jobs that were open in small little stations that I could start a career and work my way up, which I did. It's not that way anymore, and I think that our education system sometimes falls a little behind. I mean, I know here in our area, I'll just use a friend of mine, GK Electric, Greg Kilmer. He employs local people. They're electricians. They make good money. He's a local businessman. Auto shops around here, repair shops, they train people. They make decent money, but then the people that they train move on to bigger auto shops where they can make more money. I think that the small business person, like the people that form local electric companies, auto repair shops, and things like that, those are the jobs that technical schools and that high schools also should have available for students coming out of high school. Not every student is going to go to college. Not every student is going to apply to insurance firms, law firms, major corporations. I think we have to rebuild the economy from the ground up. Hey, listen, I have a good friend, Don Martin, that says, don't disparage rich people. You want to be one of them one day. Wealthy people do make things a lot of things possible in this country. But unfortunately, the way the tax system works and the way jobs work, regular people have been left behind, and wealthier people now get the benefit of all the benefits, and there's crumbs left. So I think, you know, we need a restructuring from the ground up, really, of our economy.
Yeah, and I think you hit on it in terms of the beginning. The beginning is an education, and the education is not to cram for tests and get a high SAT so you can get into a good college. It's to develop a person who has the values, starting with himself or herself, to want to go forward into an enterprise or a profession that is satisfactory to them. And the only way they can arrive at that is by being well educated. And you don't have to go to Harvard type school, in grammar school or high school. You just need teachers and a curriculum that basically puts you on a path of value, of quality, of what's important. And what's important is, what is it that you want to do? What skills do you have or think you have that you can use in your pursuit of happiness through your job? The goal should be that people should be educated so that they can get a job that not only gives them money, but makes them happy. And yes, that welder that we talked about 4 or 5 years ago in short demand, welding is a very creative process. Welding is very important link in terms of manufacturing, in developing products, and so forth. It's a very satisfying endeavor. So it's not something that, oh, that's blue collar or something. There's a creative aspect to it. But we have to start educating our folks from the ground up, from the early grades, as to their own value and what it means to speak properly and what it means to understand math, so that don't shy away from math because you think it's hard. Take the challenge in math, because math will serve you well as you proceed to get jobs in any endeavor, be it computing, engineering, school teaching. Math is very significant. We're talking right now about math in terms of, if you look at a chart and compare the wages and benefits for the average worker versus someone who owns a lot of stock, well, you need to know how to divide. You need to know how to look at a chart. You need to know how to put things in place so that you can make common sense of it. So, but, you know, so many times people take the easy way out and they shun these subjects which they think are hard, and we've grown very permissive in our society when it comes to kids, and we give them too many outs, so to speak. Part of that, in fairness, the teachers are overworked. There are too many kids per classroom, generally speaking, and the key is we do not value, as a country, our education enough. Oh, sure, we value it when they go to college and they're a scientist, this, that, or the other thing. Then all of a sudden, it's a great deal, and we have to pay attention to it. The basic schooling begins in kindergarten or the first grade, and it's a lot more than just ABC. It's self-worth, it's self-discipline, it's enjoying life, it's being physically active. All of those things are things that come a long way along the way as a child, a young person is being educated. And we're just not with it. Just not with it. Too many times we sacrifice school budgets, be it up in your area or certainly in New York City, cut corners so that you can balance the books and so forth. We've got to stop doing that. We should be running deficits in terms of how much we're spending on education. That's a worthwhile deficit, such as when the federal government goes into deficit for a while, when the economy is in bad shape, to help us get us out of it. So, too, we've got to be spending more money than we ever had in terms of education. The thing is, the rest of the world is doing it. I mean, how do you think the Chinese, I was in China in 2000, what they've done in 20 years, is incredible. I saw where they were then and how they... It's just incredible. But it's that tenacity. I can remember 4 or 5 years ago reading kids were going to school at night as well as during the day to get educated. Their parents were helping them. The government was helping them. And it's not socialism, as some people throw out in this country. It's just good common sense. If you're going to get something done, you got to work at it.
And if you're going to have a future workforce, they have to be a workforce that's educated not only in making millions of dollars in the stock market, but doing the things normal Americans did to build this country what it is. We only have a minute left, but right now there's a construction worker shortage because of the pandemic. There's 1 million construction jobs that can be found right now. 1 million. And these construction jobs are paying good money because they need the people to work. What's going on? So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens over over the course of the next summer into the winter, Jim. And once again, your comments are always appreciated and welcomed here.
Stay with that point. Infrastructure build. Get it done, hire, and we'll go forward.
You got it. Okay, Jim, we'll speak to you in 2 weeks.
You got it, and you go forward, big boy. I don't want you chasing the nurses, all right?
I won't be.
All right.
Take care, Jim.
Take care.
All right.
Right. Bye-bye.
Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets this morning here on The Breakfast Club on Robinhood Radio. And, of course, all opinions on Cover Your Assets are those of the people that give them. Do they not represent members who work for Tri-State Public Communications, volunteer or underwrite Tri-State Public Communications, or the Bargain Barn, or CATV6.